بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. This is week number 8 of reading حياة الصحابة. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى put blessings in these classes. The purpose of this is not to plow through this book. The purpose is not to get from one cover to the back cover, from the front cover to the back cover. But the purpose of this reading is an opportunity for us to learn, for opportunity for us to understand. We have to understand that return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to our problems. We turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sustenance. We search for answers to our problems in life. We ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and madad. When we read the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of understanding for us that we find the answers to our problems. We may understand from it something different what someone else understands. It may speak to us regarding our lives in a different manner that it will speak to someone else. The same story that we hear about the Sahaba radiallahu anh, to us we may understand it differently, in accordance with our problems, with our life, with what is going on in our life. And this understanding comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And someone else will understand it differently. The same story, the same understanding, the same story, the same incident can be understood differently from two different people. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He opens our minds, He opens our hearts, and He gives us guidance. I would like to mention a story before we start. And this story is something that happened recently. There was a person, he was very sick. The person was very sick. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "Ya Allah, I'm gonna go out to look for the cure. I'm gonna go to the doctors, etc. But the cure is in your hands. So whatever effort I make, inshallah, help me find the cure." So he went to one doctor. The doctor misdiagnosed him. After misdiagnosing him, the doctor gave him the incorrect medication. So he lived life for another 6 months taking the incorrect medication, and so much different type of tablets and medication he was on. Then one day he thought, "No, I need to go to another doctor now." So he went out again and he did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He traveled to another country. He went to see the doctor there. And he spoke to the doctor and they decided to take him off that medication. During this time, during his travel once, he went into the market. He went to buy necessities. And a Muslim brother seen him. And the Muslim brother was watching him. And then he went to him and said, "You look sick." He said, "Yes, I'm sick." So he told him that, "You know, there's a herbalist here. Maybe he can check you and he can give you the medication, diagnose you and give you medication, herbal medication that may help your situation." He said, "Okay." Now he had gone to the doctors. He had left his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had gone to the doctors. The doctors had no answer. He had gone to the market for shopping. And this person took him to the herbalist, and the herbalist diagnosed him, and the herbalist gave him herbal medication, a treatment which would take him 1 to 2 months. So he started taking the medication. Immediately, within a few days, he seen a difference. The sickness he had, he could see it fading away. And by the time he left that country, he was almost completely cured. He was almost completely cured. Now, what his sickness was it the evil eye, or was it X, Y, and Z? Allahu alam. Even the doctors did not know. But the point is here that when we put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do what is necessary, worldly, going to for medication, we work, but we have to understand that no matter how much effort we make, no matter what we do, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives us sustenance. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives us health. Ala kulli shay'in qadir, that Allah has power over all things, that Allah has control over everything. Just as this person found a cure while he was in the market, similarly, when we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us sustenance in such places where we will not even realize. And when we hear these stories also motivate us, especially when they're happening in our day and age. When these stories and incidents are happening in our day and age, these stories, they motivate us that, look, people say that, okay, this was in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that they were close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was less fitna at that time. It doesn't matter which zamana we live in, when our yaqeen and our faith is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will see the beauty of our faith. Even if we are in problems, we will see the beauty in those problems. However, if we become vigilante, a vigilante means that we go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision and we start breaking Islamic laws to get what we want, then we are turning to haram. We are showing that our faith is not in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our faith is in our actions. That maybe if we do the haram method, we will get results. We will get what we need. So that is the Islamic vigilante, because you are now breaking the Islamic laws to get what you need, to get what we think, what we deserve. So our faith should always be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by reading the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the stories of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, we learn how to bring faith in Allah. We develop love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read about the incidents where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum interacted with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the smallest interaction is something great. Sometimes when we read the stories once, we may not learn anything from it. But when we read it, when you come back to it and read it again, sometimes some of the stories are very simple. You may think there's not a lesson in it, but this was a meeting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatness in it. The very fact that these incidents occurred between the Sahaba radiallahu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the beauty. This is the greatness in these stories. So while we sit here, don't think that this is a moment for us to plow through this book from cover to cover. Don't sit with that intention thinking that, okay, we're gonna run through this like a marathon or like a march. We're going to march through it. No. We are here to learn from it, to reflect how it can reflect into our lives, what lessons we can take from the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And they went through far more problems than we did today. Today we think that our problems are the biggest problems in the world. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they went through far more problems than we did today. They were beaten, they were boycotted, they were imprisoned, they were insulted, they were spat on. They were called names. Their family turned against them. Yet they did not turn to vigilantes. They did not turn to Islamic vigilantes who went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rules of Islam. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, they followed and treaded the path of Islam. They followed the path that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had showed them. And this is the greatest example for us, that when we read their stories, their difficulties, their problems, what they endured, what they experienced, we will notice that every step of the way they stayed upon deen. And when they erred, they came back to the correct path. This is the greatest lesson for us in this day and age. Why in this day and age we justify incorrect actions because of the situation. We justify incorrect actions because of our intentions. We justify incorrect actions in deen. Legally, there may not be anything wrong with them, but Islamically, they are haram. We justify those actions because that we say it's going to be a benefit. The benefit cannot justify the means, or the ends cannot justify the means. We cannot become people who steal from the rich to give to the poor and say we are doing it because we have good intention. So this is what we need to see. This is the biggest lesson that we see in the Sahaba radiallahu anh, and even in the Anbiya alayhimus salam, that how many of them were tortured, how many of them were mistreated, yet they stayed upon deen. So let us continue the reading. In our situation today and in the current affairs that are happening in the world, I felt that it is important to mention this lesson, and it's important for us to mention this so people are aware and they don't become deceived, thinking that in such situations that is happening in the world currently, that everything, that the rule book is out the window. No. Because this world is a test. What is happening is part of the test. What is happening is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned. What is happening, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. It's not something that nothing is happening which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not planned. This is all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. How we react is up to us. If we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is up to us. Do we stick on the teachings of Islam, or do we turn away from the teachings of Islam? This is also in our hands. Resolving the problem is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all situations in our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test us with sickness. Now you need money for the doctor. Now people are giving you interest money. Will you take it? Will you not take it? What does Islam allow you? Does it allow you to take it? Does it not allow you to take it? Will you think first of the Islamic law and consult, or would you just think about your health and immediately take that haram money to do your cure? So we have to see what becomes ja'iz, what is not ja'iz. We have to consult ulama, we have to consult scholars, that is this permissible, is this not permissible? Someone hurts you, how you take revenge is up to you. If you don't follow the Islamic regulations, then we are carving our way to Jahannam. Now, for example, in the world, people are taking revenge by killing innocent lives. Now, if we stand up in protest, or we stand up in support of them whilst doing sin, then we are also breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we know that Allah, if we understand that everything is in Allah's hands, everything that is ordained, Allah does, then how will committing sins, how will being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the situation? We are just pushing ourselves further down. And then the most dangerous thing, that when the results do come, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help does come, we will think that it is because of our haram practices. That look, we did this, we mixed and we did X, Y, and Z. This is why these results have come. We will not say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors. We will not say it was the du'as of the people that were accepted. We will say, look, our actions. It was our actions that brought results. That's why these actions that we do, our yaqeen is in them so much that regardless of what happens, we will do them. And when results come, our yaqeen will be in our actions and not in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be careful that the actions we do take, we have yaqeen in Allah, that is only the means. Those actions, only the means. And even in those actions and those means that we use, we have to ensure that those means are accordance to Islam and the teachings of Islam. The sins we do creates darkness in the heart. And this is what Shaitan wants. This is a double-sided sword. What is happening in the dunya today is a double-sided sword. Why? Because Shaitan wants us to fall into sin. He wants us to fall into more sin. So when we react in the incorrect manner, Shaitan is winning. We are letting him win. We are feeding him. And then that darkness comes into our hearts. Sin is sin. When you sin, the darkness comes into the heart. For the nur to come in is now difficult until the heart is cleaned. Now, why will we do tawbah? For doing something we think which is good. Why will we raise our hand and say, Allah, forgive me. I wanted to help my Muslim brothers and sisters, so I did an incorrect practice. We will not do that dua because what we think we are doing is correct. Shaitan wants us to normalize our sins, and he wants to bring these sins so much into our lives that our hearts are covered in filth and our hearts are covered in sin. So we need to take care of this, and we need to take precaution in our lives that all our problems we handle according to the deen, we handle according to Islam. It doesn't matter what the opposition person has done. There, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them for their actions in this world and in the hereafter. InshaAllah. This is our yaqeen. Justice is not in our hands. This world is not about justice, my dear respected brothers and elders. This world is not about fairness. This world is a trial. And trials are difficult. Trials are never easy. Trials are never easy. Tests are never easy. So let us wake up. And let us make sure we keep our goal in front of us. Because today, the people who are being oppressed, they are not begging for mercy from their oppressors. But the people who are not being oppressed are the ones begging the oppressors for mercy upon the oppressors, upon the oppressed. This is the situation today. So let us take care in this, inshallah. Let us continue with our book reading, inshallah. We are on volume 1, page 97.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites the Joshin Dababi radiallahu an to Islam. Hazrat the Joshin Dababi radiallahu an narrates, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the battle of Badr and brought with me the fowl of my horse, Karha. I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, I have brought for me the fowl of my horse, Karha, so that you may use it for yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I have no need for it. However, if you wish to exchange it for a suit of armor from the Battle of Badr, you could have any suit you choose. I replied, I am not prepared to exchange this predileged horse today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have no need for it. O the Joshin, will you not accept Islam to become among the first to accept Islam? When I replied in the negative, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, why not? I said, because I see that your people are upset with you. He asked me, how did you receive the news of the defeat of the Mushrikeen at Badr? I said, all the news has reached me. He said, we will have to give you guidance to Islam. I responded, on the condition that you take control of the Kaaba and start living there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are alive, then you shall certainly see it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu an, O Bilal, take the man's satchel and fill it with ajwa dates as a provision for his journey. As Hazrat the Joshin radiallahu an was leaving, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu an, he is among the finest horsemen of the Banu Amir tribe. Hazrat the Joshin radiallahu an continues the story when he said, by Allah, I was with my family in a place called Gaur. When a rider arrived, I asked him, what have the people been doing? He replied, by Allah, Muhammad has taken control of the Kaaba and is living there. When I heard this, I said to myself, if only my mother had lost me as a child, if only I had accepted Islam that day, if I had even asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the district of Hira, then he would have allotted it to me. According to another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what prevents you from Islam? He replied, I see that your people belie you, have exiled you from Makkah and are now at war with you. I shall now watch developments. If you get the upper hand over the people, I shall accept Iman and follow you. However, if they get the upper hand over you, I shall not be following you.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites Hazrat Bashir bin Qasasiyah to Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites Hazrat Bashir bin Qasasiyah to Islam. Hazrat Bashir bin Qasasiyah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited him to accept Islam on one occasion. After he accepted Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, "What is your name?" When he replied that his name was Nadir, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "From today your name will be Bashir." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then made him stay on the platform within the masjid called Sufa, where the poor homeless Muslims stayed. It was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to share all the gifts he received with the men on Sufa and to give them all the sadaqah he received. So the Ashab al-Sufa, if you currently go to Makkah, Ashab al-Sufa, they are the ones that there's a small area behind Nabi Sallam's house, the backside of Nabi Sallam's house, there's a platform there. That's where the Ashab al-Sufa used to stand. And they even, according to one narration, there was even a rope, and they used to lean on that rope when they used to get tired. So this is where they used to stand, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give them things. You know, when people used to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gifts, he would distribute it and lot an amount for them also. So they used to stand at the back. This is near the, I think, Babun Nisa area, just in that area. When you also right now, when you're going for to pray in the Rawdah, you walk past this area, and also you can see it from behind also. It's very important to know the history of Medina and where everything was. So you know that where the incident happened, where was the tree that cried when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the mimbar as a gift. So this is important places to know, and this is one of the places. So we also learn from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's practice that even today when we go to the masjids in Tanzania or in Kenya and places, there will be people outside who are poor people. They come, they sit outside the masjid. We should try and help them if we can. We shouldn't disregard it, because the Ashab al-Sufa were also people who sat behind the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was next to the masjid. So when we see these people, we should also help them. The poor people outside the masjid, we should also help them. So let us carry on reading, inshallah. One night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left his home, and Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu followed him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the graveyard called Baqi and said, "Peace be on you, O home of the mu'mineen. We shall soon be joining you, for we all belong to Allah and shall return to Him. You people have certainly met with extreme good and have been saved from immense evil." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then turned to Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu and asked, "Who is there?" When Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu gave his name, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Does it not please you that Allah has diverted your hearing, your heart, and your sight to Islam, whereas you had been from among the Rabia tribe who breed fine horses and who claimed that the earth would be turned upside down had it not been for them?" Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu replied, "Indeed, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, "What brings you here, Hazrat Bashir radiallahu anhu?" "I followed you here because I was afraid that no calamity should befall you, or that some creature should not harm you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites an unnamed person to Islam. A person from the Baladawiya tribe narrates the following from his grandfather: "As I was coming to Medina, I pitched my tent in a valley where I saw two persons trading. The buyer was saying to the seller, 'Make me a good deal on this purchase.' I said to myself, 'Could this not be the Hashimi who is misleading his people?' As I watched them, another man approached. He was extremely handsome with a broad forehead, slender nose, fine eyebrows, and a black line of hair running down from his chest to his navel. He was wearing two old sheets of cloth. He greeted us with Assalamu alaikum, and we all replied to his greeting. He has just arrived when the buyer said, 'O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell this seller to make a good deal with me. To this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands and said, you people are the owners of your goods. All I want is to meet Allah on the day of Qiyamah without any of you claiming from me any wealth, any blood, or any honor that I may have wrongfully taken from you. Allah showers his mercy on a person who is lenient when he sells, lenient when he buys, lenient when he takes, lenient when he gives, lenient when he pays his debts, and lenient when he asks for payment. After saying this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. I said to myself, by Allah, I must certainly have to find out about this man, because his words are excellent. I therefore followed him and shouted, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He turned around to face me and said, what is it? I asked, are you the person who has misled your people, destroyed them, and stopped them from worshipping what their forefathers worshipped? He replied, that is Allah. I asked, what are you calling people? I am calling the servants of Allah to Allah. He responded, what have you to say? I asked further. He said that you should testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, that Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah, that you believe in everything revealed to me, that you renounce Salat and Uzza, and that you establish Salah and pay Zakah. What is Zakah? I asked. Wealth that our rich give to our poor, came the reply. I responded by saying, these are excellent things you are calling towards. Prior to this, there was no one on earth whom I hated more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it was not long that he became more beloved to me than even my children, my parents, and all of mankind. I then said to him, I have understood. You have understood, he asked. Yes, I replied. He asked, do you testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, that I, Muhammad, am the Rasul of Allah, and do you believe in everything revealed to me? Yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I replied. I then asked him, there is an oasis where many people are settled. May I invite them towards that which you have invited me? I feel that they will want to follow you. He replied, yes, you may invite them. Consequently, all the men and women of the oasis accepted Islam, and in appreciation and happiness, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stroked the head of this Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, we're always learning new things from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And with simple words, with simple advice, people got attracted to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was passing by the seller, he did not say, give him a good deal, but he advised him in the virtue of being lenient. He advised the seller, and he also advised the buyer in the virtue of being good and making payment. So this is how Islam is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has shown us the virtues of good. He has shown us the virtues of our good deeds. And in those optional actions, he has shown us the virtues of doing what is best. Of doing what is best. And with this simple advice, a whole village or a whole group of people eventually came to Islam. The Sahaba, when he heard this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when he heard these words from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it immediately drew him towards Islam. And this is how Islam was spread, through the characteristics and the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when people witnessed these words and when people witnessed these actions, it pulled them towards Deen. And this is how our actions and how our words should be. Our characteristics, whether in public or in private, should be according to the teachings of Islam. We will not know who our actions are impacting. We will not know who our words are impacting. We will not know. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do. Today we meet someone, we treat them nicely, we talk to them nicely. Afterwards they may think, that person was Muslim. Look at his characteristics. Subhanallah, it may be a means of them to open the Quran and read and learn about Islam, and we may become the means of someone's guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make us the means of someone's guidance. Similarly, when doing business with people today, we might go to the shop, we might do business with someone, we might meet someone for a few minutes, we might help them in something, and we may leave. And afterwards, they may reflect on what happened, and they may think, oh, this is what happened. We all know of these incidents because they were recorded. We know of these incidents. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have known of these incidents because these Sahaba radiallahu anhum turned to Islam and joined Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But our actions, what impact they have, we don't know. But if we knew that our Islamic characteristics, our dawah, our invitation to people towards Islam is aiding so many people, if we knew, then how motivated would we be to do the work of Deen? But what we do know is that our actions, when according to Islam, and our words and our dawah is getting us to Jannah, inshaAllah. So is it not worth for us to strive for this? We do not know who we are benefiting, but we do know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed us. That if we stay steadfast upon Islam, that if we give dawah, if we call people towards Islam, in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us Jannah. And even in this world, we are seeing the benefits of our iman. We are seeing the benefits. We see the benefits of our iman. When we bring iman, we see the benefits of iman. Even if we are in problem, even if we are stuck and we are in situations, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door slowly, slowly, slowly. He opens the path. Where there is no doorway, where there is no visible solution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening solutions for us. But our job and our duty, if we want to be successful when we walk through those doors, is to have our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the solution will come no matter what we do. Now, if we do the right thing, then alhamdulillah, when that solution comes, we will be given rewards at the same time and our sins will be forgiven. But if we do the wrong method, if we take the wrong path, if we make the wrong choices, then when that solution comes, the solution is going to come anyway. Maybe we acquired it through sin. This is why always our yaqeen should be in Allah. Before, in the past, the problem was between the Muslims and the Kuffar. The Kuffar were against Islam. Now we are in a situation that we are living in, that the Muslims who are Muslims are unaware of what the deen is. They are unaware of what Islam is. They are unaware of the teachings of Islam. This is why it is our duty to teach each other, call each other towards deen, explain this is incorrect practices. Because we will also be questioned on the Day of Judgment. That you had some ilm, what did you do? Your neighbor was doing the wrong thing. Did you invite him to Islam? Did you somehow alert him? And also inviting people to Islam, there are many ways, there are many strategies. Look here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through his actions, that person brought Islam. And he got interested in Islam. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, accept Islam. So many Sahaba radiallahu anhum, through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actions, people got pulled towards Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them hidayah. So dawah does not only have to be verbal. Dawah can be done in many ways. It is our intention in our heart that we need to cure. It is our faith, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to build. We don't do dawah to show people, look, I'm a da'i, I'm calling people towards Islam. No. We don't pray our salah to show the people that, look, I'm praying salah, so everyone says, ah, this guy is namazi. We don't give charity, so people see us and say, ah, look, this guy is doing charity. No. We do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't look for how many people we are benefiting, because the biggest benefit is to us. We are not doing these things for people. Whether we do charity, whether we do anything we do, whether we help people, we are doing this for ourselves. For our benefit, because our reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not with the people. It is not with people to say, ah, subhanallah, mashallah, look how good you are. Because if we do that, then we will be empty pocket on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, you did this for the people, and people did your tarif, and they said, wah, 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 you know, you're a great shairi, or you're a great person of Islam, you're a great person of deen. You have got your reward, what you intended, you received. Now go to the fire. So we have to be careful, my dear respected brothers and elders, that we stay on the path of deen. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what happens, we have to make sure that we stay on the path of deen. Especially in this zamana and in this day and age. In this day and age, things are just going to get worse and worse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied that these things will happen, that the Muslims will be oppressed, that the Muslims will be oppressed. He did not advise us to break the laws of Islam. He did not advise us to turn to incorrect practices. He advised us to stand firm on deen, stand firm in Allah, in our belief in Allah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. This is the test today. So let us take lesson from these stories, and let us take lesson from today's class. Apologize that we were supposed to do a book reading and we started off with a small speech and advice, but we feel that it is necessary in the circumstances that we are living in today. It's necessary to get advice. It's also refreshing. You know, when we are sitting in a gathering, you know, the coolness feeling. Why? Because the rahmah of Allah is there. The nur is descending. When that nur is descending, we can feel the impact of it in our hearts. This is why when we sit, we should listen. Before we sit, we should do istighfar. Clean our hearts like a glass ready to take water. You will not put a dirty glass under the tap to put water to drink it. No, we will clean the glass first. And this light is not because of me or you. It is because we are reading. We are reading from the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are reading about the stories. We are remembering Allah. We are making intention to bring ourselves closer to deen. We are making the intention to bring build more love in our hearts for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when doing this, we are in a gathering of good. So even if we can only sit for 5 minutes, even if we can sit for 10 minutes, we should do so. If we can get some other people to sit in the reading, alhamdulillah. Just as we share things, when we see a joke, we share it with our brothers and sisters, that they may laugh as well. So when it comes to good, also share it. Stop sharing the bad jokes, or stop sharing that thing which is haram. Share the good things, so that they should also earn rewards. So they should also earn rewards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us guided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being a means of fitna. Ameen. Jazakallah for your attendance today, inshallah. And inshallah, we will continue with Hayat al-Sahaba next week, if Allah wills. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.